Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Tell you what, the love of God is a amazing, life-changing, and we just, again, so appreciate God's presence with us. Thank you, worship team, and thank you, church. Those of you who put together that wonderful tribute, I certainly appreciate that. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. Although, and I do admit, I tried to run slides earlier, so if you're having trouble following the lyrics, that was my part, because I can't, it's hard for me to sing and worship and click. So that was on me. So if any of the slide mess ups earlier today, that was on me. That's a hard job to do. And anyway, I appreciate those people and our tech people who do this. If you have a Bible, open to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22. And I want to talk to you about a couple things here today. Once again, we're primarily virtual this week, but I want you to just remember that God is in control. As we go through these next few weeks, God is in control. And I thank the Lord that we're coming to the conclusion of our national election. And I encourage everybody to practice their civic duty, and I believe their Christian duty, by voting prayerfully. And I'm going to say this, vote prayerfully, please. It's an important election. And I want to talk to people today about what's kind of going on in our area, in our nation, and a couple thoughts. Now, it's been a divisive election. It's been an interesting election. I've never seen an election kind of like this before. And I want to talk about how it relates to us as followers of Christ. And I was talking with Mike Bourne this week, and he was going through his Pike pickings. And so 150 years ago, this quote was from October 27th, 1870. Was anybody around for that time? I don't think so. I don't think you guys were around for that. But this was in the Pike County Democrat. And here's what it said. And maybe, just maybe, we can resonate with the feeling of the sentiment. An election in Pike County is a big thing. It's an exciting affair and often generates hatred between man and man. We as citizens and members of parties should make preparations to meet this ordeal, and it is but fit that we rejoice and sing songs in the event of its happy termination. Amen. I think that we all need to be getting ready to sing songs. And the songs that I want to be singing are songs of praise. And so with that in mind, I'd like to read this verse that I want us to kind of have at the center of our thoughts for the next couple of weeks. Okay? Matthew chapter 22, 34 through 40. I mean, all the time, but this next, these next 8 days as well. But when the ten days. Okay. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And then he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. Do you agree with that, church? You agree with that sentiment? That's an important sentiment for all of us. And so today I want to talk to you about the greatest of these is love. I want to talk to you about this great commandment to love. And the underlying question for us this morning, the underlying question is this. Are we supposed to put away the command to love until November 4th? Okay, and I would agree, yes. Obviously, the answer is a resounding no. We are not supposed to put away the command to love at any time. In fact, as Jesus said, look, it's the first and greatest commandment to love God and to love our neighbor. All the law is fulfilled in these two commands, to love the Lord your God, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I know you're thinking, but what about those darn fill in the blank? Okay, fill in the blank with a different identifier than yourself, whether that be a socioeconomic class, whether that be a group, a party, a political party, an affiliation, a preference, a religion, a leaning or an identity. What about them? What about them? I want you to know that Jesus goes on and talks about, he tells a parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus identifies a neighbor as basically anyone devoid of dissimilarities. Okay? Anyone is our neighbor. In fact, everyone is our neighbor. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus identifies our neighbor as basically one of these individuals who we come in contact with. In fact, the dissimilarity between the victim and the Samaritan was the entire point of the story. Okay? You have a Samaritan. He couldn't be further away from this individual. Okay? And yet he's the one who practices and understands working and acting like a neighbor. And so Jesus goes on to really the heart of the matter. It's anybody whom we encounter. People whom we agree with and people whom with we disagree. And I know that some people at that point are saying, well, that's fine. I will lock myself in my closet and just not be around anybody. That way I don't have to love anybody. Wrong. Doesn't work like that. Because we're now more virtually connected, arguably, than physically connected, which is problematic. See my last series for the past couple of weeks. You are a light, and a light is called to shine. In fact, Jesus said you're the light of the world, and you're not meant to be hidden under a bushel. You are meant to shine, not to cover it up. So let's look at how Jesus did this. Let's look at what Jesus says on the matter of love. Because I truly believe this. I'm talking with some folks, and I mean, they're getting tired. They're getting worn out. I mean, we're stressed with COVID. We're stressed with financial things. We're stressed with lockdowns. We're stressed with health concerns. We're stressed with finances. We're stressed with all this stuff. Then add an election on top of that. Then add debates and add all of these other things going. Some folks are just to the point of getting ready to snap. Right? So what can we do? I really believe it will give some of us a much needed respite from carrying around the anger, the fear, and the anxiety that I see many of us carrying. People, because right now it's like you talk to people, and it's like everyone seems so focused on influencing others' vote rather than loving them. To this I would say, maybe we don't quite have the balance right. Again, I know that this election is important. I really, really, really do. I'm not at all minimizing it. But we need to be focused on keeping the faith throughout this time, not laying it down and trying to pick it up sometime later in November. Tweetable line today. Sadly, many Christians are much more passionate about spreading a political ideology than sharing the gospel. That's problematic. That's problematic. I want to tell you, I've been guilty. I've had probably more political conversations in the past several weeks than I have had gospel-centered conversations, because that's the topic. Everyone's wanting to talk. And that's on me to be able to try to fix that. Many Christians spend far more time tearing down a member of an opposing party than they do proclaiming the message of Christ. And I feel convicted, and I feel that the Word of God is convicting us to get our priorities straight. Okay? It's not because we don't value because in essence we're not valuing the gospel as much as these temporal passions. Those who hear us don't value it either. Now look, I already voted. Okay? I already voted. So I am passionate about our nation, and I'm deeply, deeply concerned about who is going to be leading it. Ask my daughters. They roll their eyes whenever I start talking about this stuff. Okay? And I get it. But I'm going to tell you this. Don't let the manner that you go about your politics burn eternal bridges that we are called to share Christ's love to folks. To love our neighbor, that's part of this great commandment. It's loving God and loving our neighbor. And so my first point for us today is this. Jesus called people with differing passions to follow him. And I'm going to kind of break this out for you because I know a lot of people, yes, he did. Luke chapter 6. Let's just look at the apostles. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. It says, in these days, now I highlighted a couple of names here because we're going to focus on those two. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. It's talking about Jesus here. So Jesus is hanging out with God, and he's praying. All right, that's good. He said, and when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, and he named them, and whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. So the first one, you know, I want to talk to you about today is this individual, Simon, who is called the Zealot. Now, some translations, depending on what translation of scripture you have, some translations actually call him the Canaanian. Okay? The Canaanian. And it's not that he was from Canaan. This name was actually, he was from a Jewish hyper-patriotic faction. Okay? And just, this was going on just prior to the time of Jesus and during the time of Jesus. These individuals were revolutionaries. They wanted to throw off the Roman occupation. They didn't appreciate being occupied by Rome. They rejected Romish rule. In fact, Josephus calls these zealots dagger men. How'd you like that for a name? The dagger men. And here's why. Because they would just as soon drive a dagger into the heart of a Roman than to look at him. Sounds like anybody you know? It says, look, their motto was this, we have no king but God. That was their motto. And they were frequently involved in the assassination of Roman soldiers and officials. These were men of intense dedication and violent passion. Okay? And he may have had the idea that following Jesus, and Jesus was talking about this other kingdom, that maybe it would further his agenda. But truth be told, he found something else. Something along the way, something happened to him, and his passion for earthly politics became secondary to his dedication to the gospel. Now, was it a mistake that Jesus called him? Nope. Wasn't a mistake. There's another person in this group I want to look at, Matthew. Matthew's quite a guy. Here's what we know about Matthew. Okay, Matthew was a tax collector. How many of you love tax collectors? Boo. But there's a special, special thing that we need to understand about tax collectors in Jewish culture. Matthew was a Jew collecting taxes for Rome from his Jewish brethren. Sound like a guy you want to have to Thanksgiving dinner? Sorry, we're on quarantine. You can't come, right? Gang, here's what. So let me just paint this picture about who Jesus called to follow him. A big tax guy and a no tax guy. Okay, we got a guy who's like, I want no government. We want nothing. We want nothing to do. And then we have this guy who's like basically like an IRS agent. How can that happen? A traitor and a nationalist. And yet Jesus calls both of them to love God and, everybody say, and love each other. Well, I'll love them once they knock it off. No. Let's go to this. John 13, 34 through 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you that you love. Let's all read this together. Everybody at home. Look, I don't care, make the dog look at you funny, turn his head, however. Let's all read this together, okay? Everybody look, you talk at your TV anyway when the score goes bad, so you can talk at your TV now. Let's all read together, everybody, 1, 2, 3. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you vote the way I want you to. No, if you have love for one another. Now, first of all, okay, not only was this the greatest, but Jesus is now saying that this is a new commandment. We've been telling them to love all along, but no, Jesus is now going to show them what it means by laying down his life in service. That's the way that we are called to love. Their ability to imperfectly love their fellow man is what's going to identify them. More than anything else. More than anything, more than them voting the right way, more than anything else, gang, what they are called to do is to love. And if they have love for one another, that's what's going to signify to everyone else that we follow Jesus. A disciple is one who follows Christ. That's how we know that we follow Christ. I know some of you are saying, well, what about when we have disagreements? What about legitimate disagreements that we have? Well, you know what? There's always been disagreements, but let's look at something. Acts chapter 15, 36 through 41. I want to kind of break this down and maybe give you a little balance to what you maybe have been taught in times past, which I think that some of us have an incorrect position of what this says. Acts 15, 36 through 41. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." So Paul and Barnabas had taken a missionary journey. Things were great. They took with them this guy named John Mark. And as they went there, about their first stop, they came across a guy who was demon-possessed. And Paul cast the demon out, and it freaked out John Mark. He said, "I didn't sign up for this. Bye, I'm going home." That's the condensed version. All right? And so now, they're getting ready to revisit those churches. And now, verse 37. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, who's called Mark. John Mark, okay? But Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And we went through Syria and Cilicia to strengthening the churches. I'm sorry, Cilicia, excuse me. And so we have a disagreement here. We have a legitimate disagreement. And in this disagreement, this is a disagreement about how to move forward. Did they disagree that Jesus was Lord? No. Did they disagree about, they disagreed on how to move forward, how much grace to give, how to do a second chance, when's the appropriate time, is this the right time? In fact, it was a sharp disagreement. Here's what it's not, because we read this and we read it through 2020 eyes. We read it maybe even through 1990s eyes. We think that this was a Jerry Springer episode. No. Christians should not fight or conflict. We have intense fellowship, right? Shouldn't be like the world. Now look, there was a separation here because they couldn't come to a consensus and an agreement. And so what did they both do? One didn't take their toys and go home. They both went on and served the Lord the way that they felt like that they were supposed to serve the Lord. Here's my point. Believers can have differing priorities. Next point there. Go ahead and click it again. Oh, I updated the slide. So believers, there can be differences within the church. I kind of changed that. The way I want you to think about this is this. Believers can have differing priorities. Okay? Some people may want the walls to be blue. Other people say, "I don't like blue. I want the walls to be green." That would never be a disagreement in the church. I know, gang, that things like that happened. Things like, I've heard stories on pastors who talk about, those are some hard places to go because you have opinions, you have things. But the bottom line is we all love Christ, right? Believers can have differing priorities because Christians should care about the family, right? Christians should be, look, that should be an important thing. Christians should care about the poor, shouldn't we? Yes, we should care about the poor. Christians should care about the marginalized. Yes, we are called to minister to the marginalized. Christians should care about character, shouldn't they? Yes, Christians should care about character. Now, Paul and Barnabas had a sharp disagreement, but they reconciled. Okay? They went their different ways. John Mark wasn't a part, okay? But understand this, gang. We have to give each other a little bit of grace to know that we might not always be lock and stick with every single thing. The majors are the important part. Now, I know that it comes down in terms of election. You know, I encourage all Christians should vote. Okay? And I would admonish people to read the party platforms. Everyone's like, uh-oh, you're going to tell us how to vote? I'm going to tell you, prayerfully vote. Read the party platforms. Hold them up to the Word of God and prayerfully cast your ballot, gang. I've read the party platforms, okay? That's what's allowed me to understand that how and why I make an informed decision. If you believe God is in control, however, allow Him to be in control of you. Brothers and sisters in Christ should realize that there's more there that unites us than divides us. And even Paul and Barnabas, they had some different takes on how to further the gospel. They divided but they were both committed to the Lord. And we don't read anywhere of them hating one another. We didn't say that Paul went home and got on his Facebook and then told about Barnabas is such a jerk. #Barnabas, whatever. We don't read that, gang. We read something more wonderful. In fact, later, the Apostle Paul even calls for John Mark to come and to serve with him. They solved their problem and issues by both seeking to serve Christ, to love God, and to love their neighbor. In fact, Paul later refers to Barnabas as a fellow apostle. After this journey, gang. So yes, they separated. But I really believe that even though they had some differences and a sharp disagreement, they loved. That's my contention. And I'm holding on to that. And I think it's what goes. So, my final point for us is this. Love despite differences. Love. In spite of differences, guys, despite the differences, we are called to love. Matthew 5:43-45 says this. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. I like that verse 45 there is, you know, it's almost like a qualifier. Here's why you do this, so that you can be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Because you know what? There are some times I have to make myself do things that I don't want to do. Anybody else in that club? We got t-shirts. I'll be happy to share them. There are times in our life that we are called to lead ourselves. We're not called to be led by our emotions. Man, if I had one thing I constantly tell to my children and I constantly tell to people whom I disciple is don't be led by your emotions. Lead your emotions. Jesus died for people that think differently than me. Jesus died for people who feel differently than me. And Jesus calls people who think and feel differently than me to follow Him. And He's called me to love them. We're members of an eternal kingdom. Let's love like we're members of an eternal kingdom. This is what identifies us to the world. And so for the next 10 days especially for the next 10 days, gang, love and pray. Love and pray. Don't pray that you get your way in the election. Pray that God gets His way and that God can have His way in us. My final thought today, and worship team, you can go ahead and come back up. My final thought for us today is this. Let your eternal citizenship keep your earthly citizenship in check. Let's love. Let's strive to love God in the midst of this crazy time. Let's strive to love our brothers and sisters, even despite that we may have some differences. In spite of our differences, let's love each other. And I pray that the church, because I'm going to tell you this, no matter what happens in the election, I'm certainly praying, and I believe I have, what I think. But God doesn't always do what I think He should do, right? Okay. This has been a crazy, divisive time in our nation. And after January 3rd, I'm praying that even before January 3rd, the church leads the way of how we can love and come together and begin to bring some sanity back to our culture. Begin to bring some sanity back to our culture. Don't you want to lead the way? Don't you think the church is supposed to lead the way in this? Here's how we do it. We love and we let them see the love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray, church family, if you and you all at home, if we just take a minute and let's just calm ourselves down for a minute. Let's just ponder what God is challenging, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Let's just spend a couple moments in prayer, and then we're going to conclude with our last song today. If you pray with me. Father in heaven,
the First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.